Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Bonna Fiber.
And you're listening to Fiber Talk, the twice weekly podcast for needlework artists. And our artist this week, Liz Matthews from Hello from Liz Matthews. Hi, Liz.
Hi there. Happy to be here today.
Hey, thanks for doing this. Enjoyed meeting you in Nashville and seeing all your designs, so it's going to be fun to talk about it.
Oh, I'm so excited. Thank you so much.
And this show, sponsored by Sassy Jack Stitchery, which is always terrific. Sassy Jack Stitchery and a whole string of things going on with Sassy Jacks. The first thing is remember that Kim is offering Elizabeth Cooper, Jesus Wept. It's a free sampler that you can download from their site, and then she has kits available. She has kits so that you can stitch the thing over one or over two. And they're all set up right there on the site. So you download the sampler. You can do that from your stash, do the sampler from your stash, or order a kit from Kim. So that's very nice. And there's no charge for that sampler, which is very generous of Kim. And then remember, she's offering free shipping in the U.S., and then the things that we're doing with Sassy Jacks is the Hannah Longstreth May 1 Stitch Along, and Kim is offering 15% off the kit. And that, with the discount from the kit, that's $130 for either linen option. She's offering two linen options. So check that out. And then our Royal Garden project that starts July 5, that is 15% off of that kit too. And she's now carrying Floche, and then you'll want to check out the online workshop, Learning Stitches. You're doing that, Vonna, right?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. And that's a good book to own, right? That Jeanette Douglas book that goes with it?
Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember you bought that right away just to make sure you had it. Yep.
Yep.
And then, if you can stand to be in a room with us, we'll be at Sassy Jack's September Soiree number 2, September 18 to 20. We're traveling down there, so if you want to be somewhat near us, you know, will we be keeping the 6-foot distance? Probably, I hope not. I hope not. I'm sick of that. So September 18 to 20, we're going to be at Sassy Jack's for the September Soiree number 2. So come join us. Sign up. Come join us. That'll be fun. All right, Liz, we met you. We enjoyed your work. Sharing a room with your mother.
Yes.
What was it like growing up with a cross-stitch designer of her stature? Were you completely inundated with cross-stitch from day one?
You know, I was kind of oblivious to it.
There we go. All right, there we go.
You're speaking of my mom, Kathy Barrick, who has been in the industry for a long time. No, from the time I grew up, as far back as I can remember, she's been a stitcher. So that was just always part of her life, her passion, whether it was stitching other people's designs and doing craft shows where she was selling her completed samplers, to when she transitioned to designing when I was in high school. And then I would go to market with her as she was selling. It's just kind of always been a part of life.
Didn't know any different.
Didn't know any different. Nope.
But I love that. I'm a kid. I don't even notice. Following her passion. What's that?
She was just following her passion and growing, and it was really fun to see.
Yeah. So then when she starts designing and you start going to Nashville, of course, yeah, come help me out because that's a lot of work.
Yeah.
That must have had an impact on you then.
Oh, for sure. And I was trying to think back to my first Nashville. It was probably when I was about 12 or 13 when mom started doing it. And for me, I think I was less help than help. It was just really, really fun. And it was cool to see mom in that venue having a great time doing what she loved. And, you know, everybody in the industry has always been so nice and welcoming. And I feel like they really kind of have seen me grow up since I started at Market so young, and I continued to go with her until I was about 20, 21. And then, you know, I disappeared for a bit. Now I'm back. But there's so many familiar faces, and it was just always a really, really fun event for me. So I was excited for many reasons to get back there this year.
Yeah, yeah. So when did you actually start cross-stitching?
Cross-stitching Well, stitching in general, probably when I was 5 or 6, I know that as soon as I was interested, mom would have enabled that. So it was probably more embroidery style cross stitching when I was very young. I'm sure she taught me how to follow a pattern. And just as far back as I can remember, I was creative in the needle arts. I've tried a little bit of everything. I did wool appliqué, that interested me. Cross stitch, it just all of it.
So
So,
you've tried several things then, several techniques.
yes, just as a hobby, none of them have stuck as well as punch needle and cross stitch for sure. Now, I did have a career in the jewelry business for a long time, so I have just gotten back into cross stitch and the needle arts after about maybe 15 years away from it. But it's one of those things that it's like riding a bike. Once you're into it and it's in your soul, like coming back to it just feels good. It feels like home.
How'd you end up in the jewelry business?
I started taking
Not that there's
jewelry.
anything wrong with that, but.
Oh, no. It's very different. I started taking jewelry lessons in high school and fell in love with the art form and the craft of it. So I actually went to Towson University in Maryland, where I earned a fine art degree with a concentration in metalsmithing and jewelry design. And from there, I worked 10 years at a wholesale jewelry manufacturing company here in Maryland. It was a small business. It was a great career. But I have since left that job. But it was really wonderful, whether you're talking the needle art business or jewelry art business, there's so many similarities, and I learned so many things that I can now carry through to the needle art world.
So what leads you to that? I mean, I can see getting an art degree, but to specialize in that, it just something that caught your eye and you decided to go that direction?
In jewelry, it was just always an interest. I liked how metal moved. I liked learning about stones. It just felt very natural and just piqued my interest. There's no saying what piques everybody's interest, I guess, and it just hooked me. So I spent a long time doing that.
And doing your own designs or just manufacturing what you're told to make?
I started doing my own designs, but when I fell in with the company I worked for, I was helping make their designs and helping run that small business. I was the operations manager for 10 years. So it was equally creating and helping run that business in ways that I could.
Oh, okay. So, well, that's a big help now that you have your own business, balancing
It
the
sure is.
art with the business aspect.
Absolutely. I'm so grateful for all that I learned and that I had that experience. And I'm very happy to now be applying it to my own business because growing up, seeing mom have her own business, that had always been something I aspired to. And I guess she instilled that in me. So to be doing it now, it feels wonderful.
That's great. So, cross stitching all the way through that time, or doing needlework of any kind through that period?
No, not entirely. I designed some cross stitch pieces when I was about 16. I had what we called a young division of Barrack Samplers because mom's business back then was called Barrack Samplers. And I published about 25 cross stitch patterns that, mom guided me very strongly through. So I had that experience when I was very young and then kind of got away from it. And then about 10 years ago, I released a couple embroidery patterns because that's where my passion had led me. I hadn't been doing needlework throughout that time away, but felt drawn back into embroidery, and released some patterns then that, weren't so popular, didn't really take off, but I enjoyed it. And then for the last 10 years, I've been focusing on jewelry until last March when I got back into punch needle, which I really loved. And from there, it was just a can of worms right into cross stitch. And now I can't be stopped.
Well, Vonna, you were telling me at Nashville that you remember phase one of Liz.
Mm-hmm. I sure do. And I have, I couldn't remember when we were there which ones I had done, but I had done the Pennsylvania bird and the snowflake sampler, I think.
Yes, that's a throwback. Great memory.
And I have more of yours because I'm have always been a huge fan of your mother's. And so I have more of yours, but I don't believe I've stitched any. I've given a lot of mine away, you know, given to my mother and my mother-in-law and stuff over the years. And I know that I did the bird and the snowflake, but I'm thinking I did something else, but I can't remember what the name of it is. But I have several of your patterns still in my little archive of patterns.
Vintage now.
They are. They sure are, aren't they?
Yeah. So I released my first cross-stitch patterns this time around in January, and that was a batch of 5 patterns or designs, and they were all re-releases of those Elizabeth Garden charts that originally came out 20 years ago. I took my 5 most popular, one of them being that Pennsylvania bird that you were mentioning, Ivana, and I tweaked some that I felt needed tweaking that felt a little primitive or that I wanted to be very proud of them as I was re-releasing them. So some of them got more tweaks than others, but that January release this year, January 2020, was 5 of those throwback patterns.
What was that like mentally for you after art school and a career in the jewelry market to go back to old designs and look at them? Were you pretty pleased with them, or was it, oh man, what did I do there? And rework it. How did that play out? That must have been an interesting experience.
It really was, and there's a lot of feelings there. I'm so happy that I had such a catalog to draw from, and you know, looking at those and knowing that I did those when they were when I was 16, I felt very proud of that. Like, it was a lot of work, and it's, like I said, quite a library, but I do look at them and think, oh, I wouldn't do that again, or I would do things differently. And that's why I did want to tweak them, you know, just to make them more current and something that I really was happy and proud of.
Yeah, that's that old looking back at the originals thing. And, oh, yeah, we better adjust this right here. Yeah.
That's why I've only released 5 so far. More are coming. But, you know, some of them just don't hold up over time, especially with all of the talent that's out there now. You know, I'll just let those kind of go by the wayside.
Yeah. Well, it's a very different world. I mean, just like you said, the talent, but also the threads and the ground cloth that's available these days. I mean, there's so many options that, even if some of those old designs form the basis for a new design. It's a different world, definitely.
Oh, you are not kidding. Everything about it feels so different. And I've been kept slightly in the loop because Mom has designed through this whole thing. So I've heard, you know, bits and pieces from her. But immersing myself in this world, boy, is it ever different in just the best ways. It's just wonderful. The products that are out there, the connections and social media, it's just so different than I remember, and I'm so excited for all of it.
So what prompts you to make this, because this is full time for you, right?
This is full time, yeah. I think there were a lot of things that led to this kind of surprise career change. especially if you ask my husband. I think
well, put
there
him
were a
on.
Lot of
Let's
facts.
Talk to him. Let's see what he has to say.
There were a lot of factors that went into it, but kind of like I touched on before, seeing my mom build her business, it was always something I aspired to do. And I felt like as I was getting a little bit older, that I had kind of gone as far as I could go in my career, and that it was time, like now or never, it's only going to get harder. Follow what you're passionate about and you can't go wrong. So I made the bold leap and decided to dive in and do this full time. And I am so happy. It's definitely the best decision I've ever made. I'm so very happy and inspired and just feel great. So it was
and that's so important. important to, you know, it's so important to feel inspired and happy and love what you're doing. So I'm glad for you that you made the move.
Thank you. Yes, it was quite a leap, and my parents were a little nervous. Not mom. She was always 1,000% on board and supportive, but I'm so happy I did it. Thank you very much.
So a transition period there from jewelry to this business, or was it kind of a slam one door and open the next one?
There was a bit of a transition. I had been stitching and preparing for Market 2020, which we just had, slowly while working at my other career. But then, you know, when I decided to leave my old job, I could devote a lot more time. And I think it really paid off knowing that Market was right around the corner. I was able to put more pieces out, just be more involved and dedicate more time to making what feels like my debut even better. Mm-hmm. So it was all scary, but it's one of those things that you look back and you're like, this was so meant to be, and everything just fell right in place as it needed to. And I'm just so thankful for that.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Are your designs, is your approach to designs still along the same lines? Or do you feel like you're taking it from a different angle these days?
I don't feel like I can fully answer that because it still feels so new to me. I'm still kind of settling into my pattern and figuring out what it's going to be. I definitely get inspired and then go all in with designing for a bit. Then I'm like, oh, nope, I have to transition and start doing some stitching to get these out in time. But I never like to let creative juices go. When I'm inspired, I like to take advantage. And I've always been inspired by the same things throughout my whole designing career, even, you know, way back when. It's always been like vintage items, antique items, pieces of the past. And now I try to make sure that everything I design is something that I would hang in my house that is kind of very authentic and true. My style tends to be very antique farmhouse, French, stuff like that. So whenever I get hit with inspiration, I go with it. There's no telling when it'll be, but my schedule has kind of been a bit of bouncing around and doing what needs to be done at the moment until it's time to switch gears.
Punch needle, mm-hmm. Is that you have some designs there. Is that something that is going to have more prominence in your work?
I think it will appear now and again. I started punch needling again a year ago and fell deeply in love with it. I love I love everything about it, start to finish. I love how free and flowing it is, you know. You're not thinking, you're not counting. It's basically filling in with fibers is how I describe it. And I really enjoy that. But I try to be a smart businesswoman. And I know that the market is not there like it is for cross stitch. So I do really, really love it and will not close the door on that. And we'll continue to explore it. But it won't be as prominent as cross stitch is in my business. I was very thrilled at how much attention all of my punch needle pieces got at Market. It sounds like there's room for it and conversations are being had and people want to explore it. But as a new business, I'm trying to be smart with my time and, you know, my designs.
Well, that's understandable. I mean, it's fascinating to me. I've never done it. Vonna has. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've never done it. It was fascinating. And of course, Punch Needle and Primitive Stitcher magazine is a treat to look through. It's amazing what these people do with these punch needle designs. So, yeah, there's definitely a place, no doubt.
But yeah. I think that your punch needle, Liz, is very clean. I think all of your designs are very clean. And what you can see, what I enjoy is like I said before, I've been a huge fan of your mother's for you know, I'm 50. I started stitching when I was 15. I got introduced to your mother probably in my 20s. And so for what, 30 years, I've been, 25 years, I've really, really, really have followed her closely through all her different, all her different, changes. I've always followed her, and I have several of her pieces hanging in my home. And what I like about your style is it has a flavor of your mother, a flavor of, you can see, you know, as a longtime fan, I can see her influence on your look, but yet it's fresh and the colors are different from her color palette. And although the subject matter might be similar, it's fresh and it's new and it's different. And that's what I love about all of you. And I don't even believe I talked to you in Nashville because I was like staring at your pieces while we were in your room. But it's very, I love all of them. Like the Charleston sampler is at, I love that one. And I want to stitch that for our bedroom, and your carnation sampler. And I didn't realize, now that I look at it now, I see that your Pennsylvania bird is different from the one, you know, just tweaked a little bit. I can see that. I didn't see that before. Well, how cool would that be to have the before and after of that side by side? Because I still have that pattern. But anyways, that's what really inspires me. It just makes me happy as a longtime cross stitcher to see this and know, to see your designs and think, oh gosh, now I got another person I can follow. You know what I mean? I just really do like all of them, and I'm sincere about that. And your punch needle, I think, is very, very clean, and that's the one kind of thing I have about some punch needle designs, is that I don't feel like they're clean, or they're, I don't know what it is about them, but I do think that yours are all clean and I like all of them. So congratulations. Oh. I think that you have a really great look.
Oh, thank you, Mona. I really, really appreciate that. And to hear that my designs remind you of my mom, I take as a huge compliment. I think she's an amazing designer. So I like that.
She has the Midas touch, in my opinion.
Oh, she does. She really does. But I appreciate that so much. And I will continue to do punch needle because, like I said, it really excites me and I like the freedom of it. So there'll be more of that coming. And I do like when I can take a punch needle piece and create a cross stitch version of it, or vice versa. So I plan on exploring more of that and look forward to that in the future.
Is that a conscious thing that you do when you're designing to make sure you're doing Liz work and not Kathy work? Or is there enough separation that that's not a factor anymore?
I don't really think about that, to be honest. I think more that every piece I design is something that I really love. And it, you know, it takes work to get it to a level that you're really proud of and you just feel finished. It feels good. It feels right. It feels like it has your touch. So I just go with that kind of guideline in my head, and it has led me to a good place so far. So, yeah.
You have a unique situation in that there's a nice separation for you that allows you to restart, if I can use that word, and be fresh and have it your way without a lot of influence. I mean, that influence is always going to be there, but you almost have an ideal setup where you have several years where you're not doing any of it, and working in another art form, which I got to believe influences some of your work.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure it'd be impossible not to, but I guess I just stay true to myself and my style. Aside from samplers, like looking at my home style, the things I'm drawn to, my aesthetic is, it's different than mom. So as long as I just stay true to myself, I think you'll see a separation there, but I'm certainly not seeking that out. And I'm not seeking out to have a similar style as my mom. I just want to be true to myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's the way to do it. No question about it. Yeah. So this, the full-time thing, you have a little, sounds like a little transition, and then you say, all right, I'm going to do it. That must have been a scary moment where, all right, I'm full-time, now it's all on me.
Yeah, It was a very scary thing. And, I sat down with my husband and we tried to make a plan and contingency plans and to be smart, but also allow me the room to really explore this thing that I felt passionately about and felt like I really could make work and that I had a place, I had something to offer. So, he just allowed me to go with my gut. And thankfully, it's really working out and I could not be happier.
Yeah, that moment though, where you give up the regular paycheck. Ooh.
Yeah, that was a day.
Yeah, I'm sure.
That
Because
was a
that's a
day.
nice comfort blanket there to know that every 2 weeks there's a paycheck coming, and then to say, I'm cutting that off.
Yeah, for sure. But it was time. Every sign in the universe pointed to it's time. So I had to follow that.
Well, it's like Vanna said. I mean, if you love it, you do it, and yeah, it's every day is fun then, from stem to stern. I'm sure there are frustrations, but
Oh,
way, yeah,
yeah.
with all that, do you keep a regular kind of a business day approach to things, or how does I don't.
I keep a regular business day in the sense that I get up early and I'm working by probably 8 a.m. Now, that working is typically stitching a model because I like to get my day started calmly, and think about what I need to get done that day. But then my daily routine seems to change based on where I am in production schedule. Right now, I need to get models stitched for my next release, which will be in May. So, as crazy as it sounds, I have been spending all day, every day for the last few days stitching because I've got to get these models stitched because after I get the model stitched, I have to frame it and then photograph it and then lay it out and all of that stuff. So it really does vary depending on where I am in that process. If you catch me again in a couple weeks, I will be at the phase where I am in front of a computer all day doing my layout, making sure all the details are correct and that I have a nice looking chart. So it really depends on where I am. One of my favorite phases is the photography phase. I really, really love doing my cover sheets. So laying out those photos and staging that, I really enjoy. So I try to save that as like the sweet reward after all my texts and layouts and edits and checking colors has happened. So it really, like I said, just depends on where I am in that production stage. And then I'm aiming for new releases every 2 months. So I'll get to the end of my 2 months and I'll start all over again. But I feel especially spoiled right now because I am stitching. It's crazy. I'm stitching all day because it's my job, which, I mean, how lucky can you be? I'm so lucky and really enjoying it.
Yeah, but I've been a model stitcher too. And when you know that you have a deadline, it's not as oh, I'm just sitting here stitching as what people think it is. It's more like, oh, I've got to get this done, or that's the way
Yeah.
I was at least. But it is a pretty sweet deal. I do agree with that.
Yeah, I definitely have my days, but for the most part, I'm feeling pretty darn lucky still.
That's yeah, a whole day to just stitch, even under pressure. I have no idea what that's like.
I know. I mean, we're talking all new pressure lately.
Yeah.
I've had to sprinkle in a couple extra glasses of wine and a couple of walks outdoors, which doesn't help the stitching.
Oh.
But
But that's a
still.
pretty stiff schedule, because it sounded multiple designs every 2 months, so what, at least two designs every 2 months?
Yes, this May
That's
will
pretty
be four new
aggressive.
designs. Yeah, I'm trying to just be as prolific as possible, especially within my first year. I know that feeling when you find a new designer and you have a full large catalog of designs to choose from. So I want to be able to offer that to people and I'm going all in with this business. So I'm shooting for four designs in May. I'm shooting for four designs every other month until market. again in 2021, where I'll have a slew of designs. This market, I came out with 12, which was biting off a lot, but I'm so happy I did.
I thought you had, for a new designer, I was like shocked at how much you had available. I really was. And all of them, I felt like all of them were knocked out of the ballpark, all of them. And,
oh,
and,
thank you.
So I'm, and I will say, I do like a designer personally. I like a designer that doesn't, the ones that come out every month with something, it's overwhelming to me, because how can everybody, you know, if you really, really like somebody and they're really one of your, ones that you go to, a designer that you, you know, you stitch and stitch and stitch, it's hard to like keep up, you know what I mean? And it's almost like you forget, you know, I don't know, maybe that's just me, but I feel like, oh gosh, I got to get this done. I got to get this done because there's this and this and this and this that I want to stitch.
Yeah.
And I think like spacing it like every 2 months there or whatever, I think that's almost like the perfect amount to release, you know, to have new releases, because that gives people a chance to purchase and start stitching before the next ones are released and possibly even get them done, you know? So that's, I think that's a great.
Oh, good. I'm so happy to hear that feedback. You know, I do have mom's guidance, but I also feel like I'm learning so much as I go, and all of my decisions have been kind of what I would like. So I'm so happy to hear you say that, Vanna.
Yeah, that honestly, that is, because that's my number one, you know, it's hard. And when you are all down with somebody, you know, and you love their designs, then it's like, I just never feel like what's the point? I never can catch up. But with something like what you're proposing, you can choose, you know, one or two designs and get started and get going, because it's hard sometimes. Nowadays, there's so many people cross-stitching, which that's a great, you know, problem to have, but it also makes gridlock problems on getting the right, the linen that you want, or getting the threads that you want. And then you feel like you're missing out, or it gives this like layer of anxiety to people that if they can't get it, and then here, oh, well, here comes some more stuff. And now I'm already behind. You know what I mean? So I think that's a perfect schedule personally.
Oh, that's the last thing I want to do. I want to keep stitching fun and manageable. So I'm so happy to hear that. And I will continue to do that. I don't know if every other month release will be four pieces. That's my goal. But, you know, I have to allow some room for life. So, so we shall see.
Well, I agree with Vanna, the freshness of your designs, that jumped out to me. I think we even talked about that, in one conversation or another that Vanna and I had, but also the variety. I felt like all the ones you introduced at Nashville, there was variety there. I didn't see a pattern or, you know, stuck in a rut kind of a thing, but, just very, very different things. And, I enjoyed that about all of them. Yeah.
Oh, I'm so glad. And I feel like I do draw from so many of my hobbies or interest in life that I'm glad that kind of has found its way into my work too. I don't want people to look at my patterns and think, oh, it's another one of those. It's another one of those. Oh, she just changed this. So I'm really happy to hear that. And with all of my releases, my goal as of right now is to include one reproduction, because I love the historical pieces and the you know, authentic antique pieces that I can reproduce, as well as the original pieces. So my plan is to keep a bit of a mix, just to keep it, again, really authentic and true to me and what I love.
Well, I think you're well on your way. The one that sticks out for me, and I wanted to hear how it came about, and it's one of those handful that I kick myself for not buying, is the Bauer Birds. That Bauer Birds one is just so clean and beautiful to me.
Yes.
Where does that come from?
Born out of receiving Dove linen from Weeks Dye Works, and the beautiful product that is. I received the linen, fell in love with the tone and the coloring of it, and immediately thought I wanted to do a tone-on-tone piece. And what I envisioned in my head was actually a thread color that matched more identically to the linen color. I didn't expect there to be such a contrast, but I really love how it turned out. It was a happy accident, my color choice. So I knew I wanted it to be tone on tone right from the beginning. And that's, I don't know where it came from, just my imagination, I guess. I just dreamed it up, and that's kind of how it grew. It started with the leaves, actually. I liked the pattern and the repetitiveness of the leaves. And from there, I added some birds, and from there, an alphabet. But I really, really love that piece. And what's funny is Bower Birds was my top selling piece at market, followed by Yonder, which is the north, south, east, west piece. And Bower Birds was the very first piece I designed, the very first piece of cross stitch I designed getting back into this whole thing, followed by Yonder. So it was really interesting to see those be top sellers, also being my first step back into designing.
Yeah, yeah, you're kind of your warm-up pieces, and then they're the big ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, see, for me, really, as a male stitcher, in case anybody couldn't tell, a lot of designs, you know, obviously just don't appeal to me. I mean, I just have no interest in them. But this is one of those where I actually get excited when I look at it, because it's just a design that appeals to me, because it just has a classiness to it that, it makes me want to stitch it. And as opposed to, you know, because sometimes, I mean, they're just, in my mind, from a male perspective, they're just cutesy or whatever, and I'll pass. Mm-hmm. But no, this just has a classy look to it. I'm really a big fan of it.
I appreciate that very much, and I hope you do stitch it.
Well, I probably will, as soon as I get a minute.
Yeah, you're not busy or anything.
As soon as I get a minute. All right, so tell us about these trees. Holy smokes.
The trees.
Yeah. Because when I saw the pictures, I thought, oh, these are going to be little 3-inch trees. But no, these things are serious things.
They're big. They're about 9 inches. They range from about 7 inches tall to 9 inches tall. And they were one of those things. I was inspired by somebody I follow on Instagram who makes something similar with vintage blankets. And I just thought it was so cool and needed to be adapted into cross stitch, or that I could do something cool with it. So I contacted her, we're friendly, and I just explained what I wanted to do. And she said, you have my blessing, go for it. And I adapted the shape, it's different. And also I'm adding cross stitch, which is different. But because I have such a deep love of antiques and vintage items, I wanted to add that glass flower frog base, which I think really makes it interesting. So we started with the winter trees, just being the time of year that we were in, and you know, a winter tree kind of sounds natural or feels natural. So they started with punch needle, you know, forms, because that's what I was doing, and they had such a good reception. They were so well received that I decided to convert them to cross stitch, also in the winter version. And I love them so much. I've decided to do a set of 3 for every season.
Oh,
there you go, Vanna.
So
yeah, they are darling. The swan one is my favorite. I love the swan one.
I love the swan. And you know, as I was stitching that, obviously it starts in a flat format. I loved it so much and was almost sad that I had to turn it into a tree, because I loved how it was looking and I wanted to just put it in a frame and hang it on my wall. So that pattern, if you purchase it, it is finished in a traditional rectangle format, so that if you're not into the trees or decide not to finish it as a tree, it can be framed as a full piece.
Oh, wow. Well, that's good to know.
Yeah, it's on my to-do list to restitch it and show it framed, but I really love that piece too. Thank you.
Oh, I do. That's one of the ones at Nashville that really caught my eye, was that one. And Charleston, I'm surprised that Charleston wasn't one of your – I love that one too.
That's
I
what
mean,
my
all
mom
of them.
said. You really are on a Kathy Barrick wavelength.
I really do. I yeah, when I saw that one, I was like, oh my gosh, I love that one. As a matter of fact, I have it coming to me. And it yeah, I absolutely love that one. Just absolutely.
That was a joy to stitch. It's so kind of piece by piece. If you ask me, you get instant gratification. Oh, done another flower, done another flower, done a swan. So that was a real joy to stitch. I like that.
All right, Vanna, line them up.
I know, right? Because I could go through every, I have like almost your whole repertoire coming to me, to be honest with you. And I have, because I just, I loved, I've got the Bowerbirds coming, both of your motive sample, like your little grain sack sampler and the motive
yes.
sampler. And the carnations. I'm surprised the carnations weren't a big the carnation the bird one, the with the red carnations and the red
yes,
birds. I'm
little
kind of,
fat birds.
Yeah, I am. So see, I don't know the names of all of them, but
all
I
right.
can like in the and your another one of your punch needles that I thought was just darling, and here it is. I love pears. I think I've spoken on this show before, but I love pears. I don't like to eat them, but I love the shape of pear and your partridge in a pear tree, punch needle tree. I just thought that was the colors of it and how you stylized the pears and the partridge in there. I just love that one too. So,
well, that one is going to have its cross stitch version released in May.
Well, there you go.
So if you're not feeling like punching it, you'll be able to stitch it, you know, this summer.
Oh, that's great. I feel like I'm gushing over you here, but I really do hope that people see what just a fresh and great take that you have. And it's like what you said, or that you have the one that's just all on white with the words. I don't know. It's great to be loved by you or something
yes,
like that.
How
yeah,
sweet it is to be loved by you.
Yeah. And I, when I saw that, I kind of threw me because I thought, wait a minute, where is this? And then I thought, no, that's great because you're like hitting all, you know, not everybody's going to love all the same stuff. And that's something that's kind of fresh and new and kind of farmhousey, but yet not farmhousey, you know, and
yes.
the letter. The everybody's into lettering nowadays, and I just really like the whole look and aesthetic that your whole line at Nashville came out with, and I'm excited to see what you have in May.
Oh, thank you. Yes, lots more coming as fast as I can.
Well, that how sweet it is to be loved by you. That one to me was holy smokes. That's completely different from everything else. And really just said to me that she's not stuck in any rut at all. I mean, this is because that and the fact that you didn't center all the words right in the middle and, you know, and put a little flower next to them. I mean, you composed that so nicely and it really works with all that negative space. It's very nice.
Thank you so much. And, you know, that was my kind of mystery piece. I really loved it, but I didn't know how it would be received. And kind of the background on that is I really love home decor. I like decorating. And like I said earlier, I like a farmhouse style. So I was kind of adapting traditional farmhouse style signs that are often painted on wood to cross stitch, which was my new passion. So that's how that all came together. And I really loved how it turned out. One thing I am really proud about that piece is that it's just a prefab frame. There's no extra work. You can go in a box store and pick up a frame and have that done rather simply with one color thread. It's not a big investment. I think it takes maybe two skeins of one color. The frame can be purchased pretty affordably. And then you have this big statement piece, which just made me so excited. And I loved how it turned out. And again, I have more kind of sign style pieces coming down the chute.
Yeah. All right. So Bowerbirds and then Fractor Bees was the other one for me.
I love Fractor
Bees. Where does that come from? Because they're such strong colors.
Fractor Bees came to me in a dream. I kid you not. I woke up, was laying in bed, immediately sketched it out, and sent mom a text with an image of the sketch and was asking her if she had done this and why do I have this image in my head? Why is this so clear? Thinking she may have done it years ago. She said, no, I've never seen anything like it. And I said, okay, I'm going with it. So that was just maybe the easiest thing I've ever designed. It literally came to me in a dream.
Wow.
So that's kind of
cool.
That
that's kind of cool. Mom is in a dream because I remember you doing it. And nope.
Nope.
It's all in your head, lady.
Oh, I need more dreams like that.
Well, that's a good dream because that's a successful piece, no question. That's good.
Yeah. I really love that piece. I love all the pieces, but there's something about that that I really enjoy.
Yep. Well, that's that artist mind, I think. It's yeah. Churning all the time. Yes. Yeah. So as you set up your business, what is your workspace like? Do you have a studio? Convert a bedroom? You got to have some space, I'm sure.
I've taken over so many parts of this house. We have a small guest bedroom that I had converted to my office area that I have, for the most part, kept clear of all of my creative distractions. You know, I have threads in here and things like that, but I try to do all of my office work here the best I can. And then my stitching is done primarily on the couch in front of a great window. It's comfortable. I will kind of camp out there with my stitching, a good podcast, some good music. I try to not watch too much TV while I stitch because it's very distracting. So it's all audio stuff. And then I do have a studio room as well that I don't use nearly as much as I should, but it's got a lot of my antique collections that inspire me that I find myself sort of playing around with and, you know, just giving myself some inspiration.
Now, are you one who always has a sketchbook in hand or in your purse to, in case an idea hits you?
Always. It's okay. One of my most prized possessions. I need my sketchbook at all times and I fill it up with the most random things that kind of, you know, find their way into designs when you least expect it, that you are just thankful that you jotted it down or took note of that. So I always, always have a sketchbook and I love them. I will always, always keep them and look back through them years later.
A true artist.
Yes. Yes.
Yep. All right, podcasts. You mentioned podcasts. Now, I love listening to podcasts. What are your favorites?
Oh, gosh. I'm a true crime podcast listener, except lately I've been trying to dial that back a little bit, just with stress and anxiety levels. But as far as those true crime podcasts go, I really loved Cold and Serial, the classic Serial. I'm trying to think what else I recently listened to.
Was it Cold?
Up said? And Vanished.
Cold, you said?
Cold. Yeah, mm-hmm. Cold.
It's I've listened to that too.
Oh, that is intense. It's a deep mm-hmm. dive into one case and a lot of the history behind that case. And it's really, really good. I would highly recommend it if you like that sort of podcast.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Cold and Serial. I've heard of Serial. I understand that's fantastic.
Yes, that was my intro into the podcast, so I would definitely recommend that one as well.
Okay, I'll put them on the list.
Okay, good. Let me know what you think.
All right, so I really do enjoy podcasts. So when you branch out from crime, where have you gone? What have you found?
You know, I found this podcast called The Imagined Life.
Imagined Life?
Imagined Life, yep. And the concept is it's told from a first person point of view of somebody famous that you know, but they don't tell you who it is. And you have to determine who that person is throughout the 45 minutes to an hour podcast. Hmm. It's it's not the actual person, but you know, they're giving clues, and through context you can kind of figure it out. And I really enjoy that because it's lighthearted, it's happy and a bit of a mystery, and you learn stuff about these people's lives, you know, like Oprah, Elton John, Princess Diana, people like that who are you are familiar with, but not on the level that they're telling the stories from.
Okay, that's going to the top of my list. That sounds like fun.
Yeah, it's really good. I highly recommend that.
Okay, all right. Yay, a new one.
All right. I know that feeling.
Yeah. Well, and you know, and crime stuff, like I love watching crime shows on Netflix and those things, but after a while, they kind of start to drag you down. And and you have to, I find I just have to stop and go watch something else, because after a while you just feel like everything's dark and dying. And, and so, all right, now give me something that goes in a different direction. So,
that's when you watch Bigfoot Syndicate.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's where I would go. Bigfoot Syndicate. Yeah.
Okay, maybe these days we need to watch that Tiger King that everybody's talking about.
Oh, I haven't heard about that.
It's something on Netflix. It's a documentary. It looks wild. It's on my list of things to watch. No pun intended, wild.
I'm going to go with Imagine Life, I think. Yeah, I'm gonna go with that. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that's a good choice.
Yeah. Liz, really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Oh, thank you for having me. I've loved chatting with you guys. Thank you for all you do. I wish we were doing this face to face, but this is great.
Yep. Well, this way we can at least talk. So there we have it.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks to Sassy Jacks for sponsoring us, and thanks for listening.